Thank God. Well, we've been speaking for a few weeks about our race. It's just kind of grew. You know, I spoke on New Year's Day. We had a short service on New Year's Day. Fell on a Sunday this year. And we had about an hour service and had a few things ready. And boy, I could hardly even get it out. I mean, I had to just clamp it down so we got out in an hour. And that's a different thing. That's what we said we're going to do. We're going to get out an hour. So we did. And but there was so much there. And I was like, well, I need to hit this again. And last week, I could hardly get out off the first part of one verse. But we're going to go with the Spirit of God. And, you know, there's no, we're not checking boxes as we say, well, we got to get this part of the series over and rush through it. I knew there's a pastor in Kansas, I believe he's still there. We knew them a little bit because they were in our region when we were in Nebraska. But anyway, we had this class in our third year Rhema, and I was in there for the pastoral ministry. And the class was just, it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and one 8-week session. And what they did for that is they'd bring in ministers, mostly pastors, maybe all pastors, I guess, for that class, in, and they would just speak what was on their heart, impart wisdom, impart direction. We would do that Monday and then do it Wednesday and then do it Friday. They would be there for a whole week. And anyway, they came in, this couple, one of the weeks. And I remember a lot of things they said stuck with me. But there was one thing he was talking about. He said, you know, the staff gets frustrated with them because they'll be trying to do, they'll say, okay, they're going to do this four-part series on something or whatever. And he's, you know, he's a pastor. And so he goes in and he's preaching on what he's supposed to be preaching on, but things get pulled out of him. So he'll go off and he'll start going off on this thing. And they're like, you know, they want this four nicely packaged, four-part series on this thing. And, you know, so he would minister where the Spirit of God was ministering. You can't, you know, just stay with your call. Whatever you're called to do, do that. Don't try to, this goes with what we're talking about, don't try to do somebody else's thing. You know, there are teachers that are called. They can sit down and just teach line upon line on something and then pick up right in the different things. That's a different gift than like a pastoral call. And the teaching minister, pastor, will always be able to teach. But there's a different thing, and so we don't want to shut down what the Spirit of God's doing so that we say, well, no, this is only on this. I mean, you try to do that, it'll get dry just like that. You try to say, well, no, we're supposed to be doing this, and don't go with the Spirit of God. It gets dry because it's just intellectual then. Anyhow, we're going to go with him. Let's turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Help us to get out what we need to get out this morning. We prayed, so we're believing, right?
Amen.
It's easy to preach this morning, so we need to get out what we need to. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It's on your sheet, too. Y'all there? It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. It's on your sheet. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So that verse 1 says, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, we talked about that, how this is in chapter 12, right, the beginning. Chapter 11 talks about all these different individuals that walked on the earth, that lived the life of faith, that did what God had called them to do. And so, you know, it mentions Abraham, mentions Noah, it mentions Joseph and these different people that ran their race. And so chapter 12, verse 1, it's saying, since then we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, these people we just got done talking about, who are in heaven. He said, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So we've said we have a race that's set before us, not set before your neighbor, not set before your brother, your sister, your parents. We have a race that's set before us, and everybody's is unique. Everybody has a different starting place. Everybody has different talents and gifts and abilities. God knows all that. God knew before the foundation of the world that you would become a Christian. Amen. You say, how does he know? He knows everything. Yet he still gives us a free will. He did not twist anybody's arm to bow the knee to him. But he knows who will serve him. He knows who will follow him. He knows who are going to run their race. The secret things belong to the Lord. Only he knows men's and women's hearts. Have you ever asked, well, why does so-and-so, why has God used them like that? You have to ask him. There is no formula. But God knows hearts, and he knows how people are going to react. And he knows where you started. He knows what you're capable of. Isn't that good to know? In other words, he won't break you, but he will push you, not drive you. He'll let you develop. He knows what you're capable of. Do you know, like a coach, just in natural things, a manager, they're to see things in whoever they're responsible for that maybe the person themselves does not see, but they know they're capable. And they'll give them tasks to show them that so that they can be enlarged. A bad manager will drive people, try to whip them, try to get them to do stuff, and it's selfish. A good manager, a good coach will let that person run to their fullest ability, develop it. Well, isn't it good to know that God has our best interest at heart? He will never push you past what you can handle. He won't let you, the Bible says, he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means if you're facing something, you can handle it. Did you hear me? If you're facing something in this earth, the Bible says you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. So if you're facing it, you can handle it. If it's in your race, now I'm not saying God sends everything to you. We're not going to preach on that, but you understand there is a devil. There is an enemy. We live in a cursed world. This life, this world's messed up, and I don't think we know how messed up it is because we haven't seen the original. If we saw the original, we'd realize, oh, wow, it is really messed up. We're just used to it. But what was I switched and said that. Pick it right up. Lord, bring it back. The world's messed up. What were we saying right before that?
God never sent you anything you cannot handle.
Yes, thank you. So the world is a fallen world. The world is a fallen world. It's cursed. Now, God didn't bring these things into the world, but you're going to deal with some stuff. but we can overcome it.
Amen.
In other words, anything in your path, if you're running your race, we said it's a one-lane race. You're not running against anyone else. You're running against you. The only way you can lose is if you sit down and get out of the race. You can lose, though. People do it. They just sit down and say, well, I can't do it. Well, you lost. The only way to lose is to quit, to say, I can't do it. Well, number one, make sure you're doing what God told you to do. Okay? There is a path, not five of them, not even two. There's a path that you and I are to walk on. Now, I'm not saying you're going to walk it perfectly. We don't have to miss it, though. Okay? If we miss it and we realize, I got off, get right back on. But God doesn't give, He gives you choices in certain areas, but they're all within the path. In other words, the path is not, you know, a foot wide. Yes, it's narrow, but it's not a foot wide where you have no ability to choose certain things. You do. They're all within your call. All within what you are supposed to do. You have freedom. But only in certain things. In other words, you come up to a decision. If that is a wrong decision that's going to take you out of what God has called you to do, you'll get what we call a check. I'm not going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit this morning. I have several series on the website. Go listen to them. They'll help you. But the number one way God leads you, aside from His Word, is by an inward witness. You have peace about something. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. I don't care how good it looks on the outside. Get out. Get away from it. But there are things that are like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, that's okay. It's within your call. It's not going to take you away from God. It's okay. Then there are things that may look to you good. They may look logical, but they're wrong for you. This is where people mess up. They say, well, so-and-so is doing it. They're not in your race. They're not doing what you're called to do. They may be able to do something. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just talking about where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't look at what your neighbor is doing. You have to make a decision about what God is calling you to do, and are you able to do what He's called you to do and still make that decision in a certain way? Because you don't want to get off the path, do you?
No.
And you know, people don't mean to. A lot of people, they don't intend to, but they do, because we have a tricky enemy. Did you know that? If you don't know that, you have an adversary called the devil. That's his purpose, his mission is to get you away from God, because he hates God. He's already, his destiny's already settled. Have you read Revelation? But he's trying to take as many people as he can with him. And if he can't get you to reject God outright and you become a Christian, he's going to try to get you to reject what God would have you to do in life and sideline you. Get you out of the game. Get you out of the race. And he does this a number of ways. But he's going to try to get you to make decisions that will take you away from what you're called to do. But we were saying, I want to finish this part up, that if it's in your path, you can handle it. Okay? The Bible says you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. You have an enemy. This is a fallen world. You're going to deal with some junk. You're going to come face to face with the curse that's in the earth. But the good news is we can overcome it. And anything that's in your way, you can overcome. There is nothing that can defeat you unless you say, I can't overcome that. Then you've defeated yourself. You don't accept the deliverance that God has. I'm not saying God put things in there to trip you up. They're just there because we live in a cursed world. But He's given us the ability to overcome. So we're going to run a race. We are running a race. There is a race to be run. Let me put it that way. Some people aren't running the race. Just because you're living life doesn't mean you're running a race. Going from day to day, going through the motions and doing what our flesh would want us to do is not running a race. In other words, you can be going through the motions, living life, but for all intents and purposes with what God would have you to do, you're on the sidelines. And you could be doing great things, quote unquote, in the world, and still be, for the purpose of your race with what God has for you to do, doing zero. Did you hear me? Because if God asks you to do this, a certain thing, and you decide you're going to go over and do this other thing, as good as it may look to you, as good as your friends may think it is, as much as you may think it's a good thing to do, if it's not what he asked you to do, tell me what is going on with the race that he called you to do. Is anybody running it? No, because you're the one that's supposed to be running it, and you're over here doing something else. This is a tactic. So there's degrees of this, right? You could be completely running in the opposite direction, saying, I'm not going to do what God calls me to do. That's just flat-out rebellion. Some people are there. Some people are, well, I think this is a good idea. I'm going to go over here. It's kind of what I think God's called me to do, but, you know, I really want to do it this way. Well, that's, you're still not doing what he would call you to do. There's things where we are generally doing, going in the right direction, doing what he called us to do, but we've picked up things like we talked about last week. We've picked up baggage. We've picked up other people's things that they're called to do, and we thought, well, that's a good idea. I'll add that to what I'm supposed to do. And so we're actually not as effective in doing what we're called to do because we've picked up other people's stuff. You know, like we said, it's as simple as what you do. I'll use this because it's a simple example. What you do in your devotional life. Everybody, a Christian, you ought to have a time where you ought to spend some time. You'd spend some time with the Lord all day. You can be communing with Him, but we ought to look at the Bible. We ought to spend some time praying. But, you know, how you do that is personal. It's between you and God. But you know what a lot of people do? They take whatever they hear somebody talk about it and what they do, and they go, well, that sounds good. That person looks like they're doing pretty well, so I'll do that. And then they hear somebody else do something. Well, I'll do that too. And pretty soon they have this list of all these things they think they have to do in their personal time with God, when actually it's supposed to be between them and God. And we're supposed to work that out our own. Well, there's every other part of your life. I'm not saying we can't learn from other people. Of course we can. When you hear somebody talking, what you're looking for is a quickening on the inside to say, yeah, that would help me. That's the right thing that I'm supposed to do. But not just take blindly whatever everybody else is doing, because you'll get to a place where you're just running and you're bogged down and you're not running your race efficiently. You're running it, and it's kind of muddied up, it's clogged up, because you've done things that don't really help you where you're going. So he said, and we talked about this last week, I believe we want to talk about this part a little bit more. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24 there on your sheet. Let's just do it for the sake of time. Look at your sheet. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in a such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone that competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. But notice verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. That means we're supposed to know some things. We're supposed to know some things about what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Did you know that? It's not a big mystery if we feel like, well, God just won't tell me what to do. We're not getting in the right position to listen then, because he is broadcasting. That would be silly, wouldn't it, for him to have a child come in, a child come into the kingdom of God, one of his children, and yet not give them a path to run on. Well, you know, I don't really like you. Go sit in the corner, and you know, when it's your time, you just come home to heaven. That's not God. Do you believe that would be God? God has something for everybody to do, and it suits us perfectly. So if we don't understand, if there's some things we're confused about, well, we need to get before God. We need to yield to him. But number one, you're going to have to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. This is the key. I think we're going to go into this much, but you need to be willing. And that's the number one thing. If you're willing, then you can understand what he wants you to do. If you think, well, you know, we'll see. I kind of have a good idea. I want to do such and such. And if what the Lord would tell me lines up with that, then I'll do it. Well, that's, you're not going to hear it. It's going to be muddy. It's going to be unclear. It will be muddy for you. Because you're basically trying to run your own life. And Jesus is our Lord. If we're Christians, he's our Savior, but we have to make him our Lord. That's not a tag. Well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, a Christian easy phrase. That means he determines what we do. That means if he tells us something to do, then we're going to do it. If he says no, then we're not going to do it. Now, don't take this as hard. It doesn't have to be hard. It can be good news. You mean all I got to do is what he tells me to do? He's a merciful and good and gracious God. He knows who you are. He knows where you came from. He knows your heart. Okay? He's not a hard taskmaster. But he does have a plan as well. And it's not real muddy. How many of you think God is muddy? He just kind of doesn't know what's going on and... No, he's exact. He created your body. He created this whole thing. Do you think it's just kind of muddy how the earth works and you know how the solar system is set up and how it was just kind of like, you know, however your heart wants to beat and however your blood goes through. I mean, no, it's precise. I mean, there's some play in how things, tolerance and how things work, but God's not just real fuzzy on stuff. He's within a certain area. He creates things and architects things on purpose. So Paul is saying here, I don't run with uncertainty. In other words, well, you know, I don't know what I'm doing out here. I mean, saw Jesus on the way to Damascus. I don't know. Maybe I'll preach. I mean, he's running with everything he has, doing what God told him to do. And that's why we know about him. That's why you know about the Apostle Paul. He gave it everything he had. And he ran his race. And he didn't get off on things that weren't his race. But not running with uncertainty, he said, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. In other words, I'm not just playing around. Another translation says, I'm not just shadow boxing. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. He said, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it on purpose. Amen. I'm bringing my body into subjection. I'm saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to do what God would have us to do. How do you know? Well, you have the Word, number one. Number two, for your specific race, you got to be led by the Spirit of God and know that something that you're able to do it or not do it. That it won't harm you. That it won't get you off. Do you hear me? No, you don't hear me. I had two people that heard me. We need to know that everything that... We need to look at our lives like this, okay? Take an inventory of what we're doing, and are those things that we're doing, are they helping us on our path, in our race? Are they helping or hindering? If the answer is they're hindering, then maybe we have some work to do. Maybe we have to make some adjustments. If I'm going to pick something up and say I'm going to start doing some task, what if it's a hobby or, you know, I'm going to start volunteering somewhere? We should always ask, is this bringing me closer to my call? Is it helping me do what I'm supposed to be doing for God, or is it actually going to be detrimental? And there's a range. Like I'm saying, don't get legalistic on it. You know, don't go to that extreme where you're stopping and praying for 5 minutes before every decision you do during the day. What you wear, I'm not saying you can't be led on what you wear. You can be led. Don't spend 20 minutes praying in tongues about it, though, before you take a shirt off the rack. This is the exact shirt I'm to wear today. I got it from the Lord Jesus. That is flaky. Okay? I'm not saying, I buy things on purpose, like, you know, what I wear, but you can go to extreme, right? You can be legalistic about it. Well, I couldn't wear that shirt. It's going to be detrimental if I wear the wrong shirt. Well, you know, if you're in an interview or something, maybe don't wear your workout shirt. But if it's a dress shirt or nice dress or suit or whatever, I mean, in other words, there's a range there. And this is the way it is with God. He's not legalistic. So don't get weird about it. Don't get Christian-easy about it. Got to do this, got to do that. That's not God, okay? The devil will say, oh, you want to play that game. You want to do what God wants you to do. Okay, now you can't make a move unless it's exactly what God would. You have to go to the right restaurant when you go out to eat. And you could spend an hour trying to figure out the right restaurant, and you're just wasting time. When, you know, five of them would do. Pick one. Right? The devil's not stupid. He's crafty. So he said, he looks at your heart and says, oh, these people have a heart to serve God. Well, now I'm going to push them the opposite way and make it like, well, are you doing exactly the right thing with God? I mean, what about that decision? That's not quite right. God might not be pleased with that. And he torments people. So don't take what I'm saying and go, okay, everything's got to be just perfect. We got to pray about everything and fast about it. No, but don't be loose about it either. You don't just pick up, well, I'll just do it. I'll just buy this. I'll pay for this. I'll start this and not ask God. Not check inside, is this going to help me? See, there's two extremes. We ought to be looking, though, when we're running our race, and seriously, the bigger the decision, the more you're going to consider, what's the impact of this in what I'm doing, what I'm called to do? And we're talking about stripping off every weight. We're talking about being able to run that race well. There are decisions, and they're different for everybody. This is why we just need to look down our lane and do what God has called us to do. The Bible, in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Doesn't say look unto your neighbor or three neighbors or your best friend. See what they're doing and then do that and maybe a little bit. No, it says look unto Jesus. You run your race and you look unto Jesus. We need to have a relationship with Him and understand what might be right. Now, I'm not talking about stuff that the Bible calls sin. If the Bible calls it sin, you stay away from it. Okay? Well, it's right for me. If it's in black and white or red in that book, it's wrong. If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin now just like it ever was. Well, I don't know. The Holy Spirit led me. No, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Might have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. If you ever hear somebody say, the Spirit led me to do such and such, and you have a verse against it, that person is not hearing God. Okay? So if the Bible tells you specifically not to do something or to do something, well, God told me not to do that. Yeah, but the Bible says to do it. then that's wrong. But then within your call, within your race, you see, I'm using that word call. That's not just for ministers, okay? Everybody has a call to do something. And you're anointed. That means the Holy Spirit working with you, helping you to do something in life. And it's different for everyone. That's kind of why you can't just take somebody's plan, read a biography and say, well, I'm going to do exactly what this person did because they were successful and they were a great man or woman of God. Okay, great, but that's probably because they were following what God told them to do. You can't take that plan and just fit it on your life and say, well, I'm going to have the same results. No, you won't. So you need to look at decisions, look at the components of your life, and there's a range of stuff that will still fit, that you can still fulfill what God has called you to do, and it's okay for you. But it might, something that your neighbor's doing that fits with their call would not work with you. And if you pick it up, it's not necessarily sin, but if God told you specifically not to do it, then it is sin. But it's not going to help you. It's going to hinder you. So we need to be sensitive. The bigger the decision, the more you need to be sensitive. I've talked about this before, but when I was, single, eventually, obviously, I married Shelley, but there was a person I dated for a while, and to be honest with you, I stayed in that relationship longer than I should have. But at the beginning, I knew this. The person was fine. From outside view, pretty, smart, good person. She is a baby Christian. But went out with her for a while. But I knew at the beginning, this person is not, I had a check on the inside. I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do with this person. They're not right for me. Does that mean they're not right for anybody? No. It means they're not right for me. But it took me a while to get that through my head because everything else is, and my friends are going, you're going to do what? You're going to dump her? Why? Well, at that point, these people aren't thinking like what I'm talking to you about. So they're going, dude, you're stupid. Can you tell me a reason why? Well, I'm not articulating like I am now. There's a check. I don't feel right. It's not the right thing. It's not going to work for me. Well, yeah, but why is it? And you reason. Well, I could see this person being the right person, and you just trying to go around in circles reasoning. Do you know it doesn't do any good to reason? If you have something that you know is not the right thing, don't try to figure it out because you probably couldn't figure it out. In this instance, I don't know what's going to happen down the line 5 years, 10 years from now. I don't know what's really in that person. I don't know if what I'm called to do is going to, it's going to cause friction. It's going to cause pain. It's not going to work. God does, though. You can't go on what you just see. So it wasn't right. Well, it took me a while to finally just cut that off. It was difficult for me. Now, single people, young people, you don't have to go through that. It doesn't have to be that way. It wasn't extremely bad or anything. I'm just saying we can just be led by God and if he says there's not something there, just drop it immediately. Don't go any further down the path. Amen. You don't need to know anything else about it. So as I would go, I needed to know, well, who is going to, now this is a big decision, right? There are I can't think of any bigger decisions other than becoming a Christian of who you're going to marry that's going to really, really affect your life. Right? It's not flippant. You need to know that you're marrying somebody that you can fulfill the call of God for your life. Now, you don't know, like I said, you don't know everything about that. What's going to happen in your life? I did not. I did not know at that time I'm going to be out in Massachusetts pastoring a church 20 years later, or 19 or 18, whatever. At that point, I did not know that. And I didn't know that our path was going to include this. We were just talking about it actually yesterday when we were going out. This week, 11 years ago, this week is when we flew out here to check out the area. when we were just checking out. That January, when I tell you that, that's like 11 years ago now. That just blows my mind. I mean, Brianna was, you were two. I mean, no, you were four, and then Andrew was two. So, Andrew was two, you were four. And that's all, you know, Christina and Julia are not around yet. So, anyway, I didn't know that that was part of it. But God did. You know, we got to trust Him that He knows more about us than we do. He knows where we're going. Well, why can't I do that? So-and-so gets to do that. Do you trust God or not? It's not bad. It's not the wrong thing. Well, maybe for you it is. Will God tell you something to cause you pain? No. He's trying to save you. He wants it to be the best. Do we believe that He wants the best thing for us or not? Well, then we have to trust Him. So I had to go. When I met Shelley, I had to say, can I marry this person or not? I mean, you don't start out there, but you're thinking, I mean, as a single person, when you start talking to somebody, you're thinking, you're putting them through a filter. I'm not going to just start dating for any. Ultimately, if I keep on with this, you're ended up married, right? So as you're going, you're thinking, you don't have to hyper-spiritual. Some people, they won't date. Because they're wanting to hear from heaven before that this person's the right one or wrong one before they ever even talk to the person. Again, that's over in the weeds. Why? You might not even like them after you talk to them. You just saw them from, you know, across the party line. You're saying, that's the person I'm going to marry. People do that. And then they meet them and say, no, I don't want to talk to them. Well, you know, there's a natural thing involved too. It's not bad to have a date with somebody, talk to them, find out if you like them, if it's something that's actually going to work. It's okay. So, but, you know, when I was starting to talk to her, you know, I'm thinking, is this somebody, is it okay on the inside? Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. So what do? Talk some more. Take the next step. And that's what we did. And we felt it was fine. It was the peace. What, you know, that this person, I believe you can make a choice about who you want to marry. In other words, there's not just one person. When God brought and did bring Shelley to Nebraska, I mean, she's in Oklahoma. And she did a music workshop in Nebraska on Mother's Day weekend. So she spoke on Mother's Day when she had no children. We have that recording at home. And did the best she could. We had two, and she'll tell you that too. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, what was I saying? I probably, you know, didn't know anything about having kids. I'm speaking on Mother's Day, but you can have some general things from the Bible. So we had a workshop on Saturday, a couple music workshops. I'm the music minister. And we got to talking. And I took her home. She was staying with the pastors, and I took her back to stay with the pastors. I got lost on the way. They wouldn't give me the end of that. I mean, let me hear the end of that. Well, you got lost. You were so star-dazed, and what days that you got lost. Probably half true, but I was going. They live way out in the country, and I am going this other place. I usually don't go straight to their place from the church. I go from my place, and so there was some places there in Lincoln, and I just got messed up, and I was probably distracted. So we go there, and we're talking to the pastors and talking to Shelley and me. Anyway, got to know her some. But as we went along, you're asking the question, well, can I marry this person? And I felt like, yeah, I could. And it was like this. God is bringing somebody in front of you. Say, this one will work. This one, you can do what you're called to do with this one. If you like them, you can marry him. If not, there'll be somebody else. But you got to weigh everything. Okay, well, this person, you don't know when the next one's going to come, what the circumstances are. You're going to be a little older. It's not like buying a car. The people, we laugh, but some people think it's like buying a car, that there's, 1,000 coming off the line, and there you can pick your color, and you can pick the features, and you can get it exactly the way you want it and order it like that. People aren't like that. Is that a revelation to anybody? Huh? Some of you people are laughing because we thought it was like that, and you realize it's not like that. You're dealing with a human being. And they have some background, and they have some things that you're not going to see up front, right? When you're dating them. You're getting quiet. You're going to find out some stuff after, huh? After you get married, and you start to see, oh, this is what they're really like here. That's why you want to be led by God. But you don't get to pick every little thing. So when the person comes, it's not like, well, here, I'll order, like when you're getting a car. Well, you don't have one on the lot. I'll wait. I'll put in an order, and I want it this way and this way. Well, I don't like the color they have on the lot. I don't like this feature. I want this feature. Well, that's the one they have on the lot. I'll just order it. That's not the way when you're dating somebody. It come up, it's like, well, I like everything but this. Can I get one exactly the same with this? No, it doesn't work that way. And you may think, well, I don't like it. I mean, you got to decide, is this one going to work for you? You're going to be led by the Spirit of God, but you have to choose too. Let me make that clear. God's not going to take you and say, you must marry this person. This is the one. It's not like that. I'm just telling you. You can choose. But you say, no, I don't like this, this, and this, and this, and I'm going to wait. Okay. The next one comes. You may have wished you took the last one. Because now you say, man, I was, this person, they had everything, but they didn't have this, and I passed on them. Now I get this next one. They don't have half the stuff the other one had, and they have this and this. They got some good and bad, but you waste your whole life going from thing to thing, thinking, I'm going to get this perfect person. They don't exist. That's a word for somebody. The one you're with. There's not any, it would, it could, it should, I wish it would have done that. Yeah, the person that you're thinking about, that you saw externally, that you thought, well, if I would have married them, you didn't know half the stuff about them. If you would have got married to them, you would have thought, what did I do? I wish I could have. And then you would have been pointing at the one you're with now. So how are you going to get through all that? We have an advantage with God if we'll listen to him. God, this is where it ought to start. Lord, my desire is to serve you. Lord, I don't want to do anything that's going to get me off the course. My first desire is to serve you. Now, can I serve you with this person? Will we be able to run our race together? Because when you get a marriage, why we're on marriage, well, we're just here, so we're going to stay here for a little bit. When you have two individuals that are running their race, and like somebody said, it's like, you're running on a track and doing laps, and you notice you're running and you look over and there's somebody kind of running the same speed as you, and you say, hey, well, let's run a couple laps together. So you run some laps together and, hey, we seem to be kind of going the same speed direction. You want to run a few more laps. But your two races become one. Okay, if one person's running this way and the other person's running this way, it's going to be hard to be joined and get the thing done, what God has called you to do. And you don't want that. You think, well, I just want to be married. No, you don't. Not if it's with the wrong person. You don't. It's way worse than being single. It's way worse if it's the wrong person and it's not going the right direction. Oh, they, you know, can make your life a living hell.
Yep.
Huh? Why are you guys laughing? I'm not talking about me. Somebody saying something? You could make it really bad on yourself. You go in the wrong direction. So when you're running, you need to look over and say, God, number one, can I see myself with this person? But God, is this person somebody I can run with, and we're going to do everything you have called us to do, and that I'll be able to finish my course? If the answer is no, I don't care what other things are, get out.
Yes.
Keep going and find somebody that inside God is saying, they'll work. In your race, you could marry them. Well, why does our person get, you know, this other person, they could marry him? No, it's because you don't know what the next 20 years is going to hold. You don't know where you're going to be. God does. Do we trust him? Do we? And that's the first thing we have to say, Lord, is this going to get me off? Now, we've used that example. You know, about marriage, that's a huge example. That's a huge decision. But it's the same thing with anything that we would add to our life. Okay? Not everything you're going to take as big an example is like marriage. But if you're going to add something to your life, you're thinking about starting a different job, you're thinking about moving your family somewhere, you better carefully consider, can you do what God has called you to do if you move? I tell you what, when we moved out here, it was not like, well, we're just going to move out Andover and see how that works out for us. No, we believed it was God. I'm going to take a different job because I don't like my boss. Are you still in the right place? Well, they pay higher. That has nothing to do with it. I would make more money. So? Could be way worse. You don't know what's behind those doors. They're going to give you the best foot forward, just like you are to them. I'm not saying they're dishonest. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Do you know, is it God that you can say, yes, I can do this and I'll still be on the right path? Because you don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. You don't know where the business is really at. You don't know what you're really dealing with. God does. Am I going to get there? And I can't now. I'm tied in different areas. Well, I'm going to start this hobby. I'm going to sign up for this program. Well, that's lesser. But can I still do what God has called me to do going that way? Can I still fulfill the plan of God? Will it, if I start doing that, will I have less time for the things of God? We need to ask ourselves those questions. Anything, and then when we're looking in our own life, or already things we're doing, you know, but we'll just stick on the things we're adding. I'm not going to go in the other direction. If you're adding something, you need to look and say, God, can I do this? And trust the answer. Trust that he's not trying. Well, I want to do it. That's like a little kid that says, no, but I want it. The mom or dad says, no, you don't need it. It's not, you don't understand. It's not what you need right now. If you buy that, it's not going to work for you. Yeah, but I really want it. Yeah, but it's not the right thing. It's not, you're going to waste your money on that. Yeah, but I just want, you have wisdom that they don't. We don't want to be like that little child. That's not a good way for a child to act. But, you know, children, that's why we have to train them and teach them and tell them, no, you need to listen to what I'm saying. It's the same thing with God. If God's telling us, no, son or daughter, that's not for you, we need to say, okay, and that needs to be good enough. Yeah. Well, why? He may not be able to explain it to you why, because you don't know what you're dealing with 10 years from now, and you're going to be talking about people here that you don't even know, and for him to explain it all to you, it's not necessary. We need to say, you said that's not the one, that means there's something else better. I'll just wait on you. It's going to be better. My first goal is to just walk with you. I don't want anything to be taking us apart. Amen?
Yes.
And then if there's something that's like, yeah, it's okay, then don't go around circles trying to hyper-spiritualize it away. It's okay for you. Yeah, this is okay to do. It's okay. I can do it. Then do it. Enjoy it. Run with God. Enjoy your race. Amen.